is good. God is good. Let's just stand for a moment, shall we, and just pray. Father, we want to thank you that the name of Jesus is a wonderful name. Thank you that it is the name of our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you left heaven, you came to earth, you lived a wonderful life. You died on the cross for us, for our sins. Jesus, thank you that you were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and that today you are in heaven, ruling and reigning and waiting for all your enemies to be put under your feet. Father, we thank you that the name of Jesus is the highest of all names. It's the name that's top in the universe, Lord. Thank you that it's a powerful name, the name of Jesus. And we want to worship you today, Lord. Father, could you open our eyes, help us to see a little bit more? Could there be something in your word this morning that touches our heart and makes us want to go on with you, that inspires us to love you and follow you more? We pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do sit down. Yes, so the sun is shining. We're grateful for the children, the sun shining as they go down to the great Campdale Fields for their annual outing. It's night out and sunshine. Not always so good when the sun's shining for the overheads, but I hope you can see that. What is that? It's the Eiffel Tower. Where is it? Fantastic. Something happened in France last month that was significant. Who can tell me what that was? Onyeka? Fire. Okay, yeah, well, it was very hot, wasn't it? Incredible temperatures, 45 degrees, actually, in one place in France, which is very, very hot and very unusual. I wonder if you know where the hottest place on Earth is. Who can tell me that? Near, because that's kind of below sea level. What do you think, Phil? Any idea? Yes, it's in the Nevada desert. And what's actually the name of the place? Death Valley, exactly. Hottest place on Earth. In 1913, it reached 56.7 degrees centigrade, which is very, very hot. Now, all that heat comes from the sun, doesn't it? This incredible ball of fire that is rolling around in space. This incredible sun. The sun is a little bit hotter than the Nevada desert. 15 million degrees centigrade at its core. That's pretty hot, isn't it? It's unimaginably hot. And that apparently is caused by nuclear fusion. I have no idea what that is, but I gather that that's why it's very, very hot. Revelation 4:11 says this. It says, "Worthy are you, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and created." God created the heavens and the earth. God created this incredible ball of fire, this massive ball of fire that today, the heat that we feel in this room is coming from that incredible sun. There's quite a distance between the sun and the earth. Apparently, it's 93 million miles. It would take over a lifetime to drive to the sun. 93 million miles between the earth and the sun. And anyone know how long it takes for the rays of light to come from the sun to the earth? Pretty much, exactly, yeah. 8 minutes and 20 seconds. But I think that varies, Leslie. Well done. There are some prizes left over there, Leslie. That's very impressive. One incredible statistic, I wonder whether you've thought of this, really, of how much of the sun's rays we actually get on Earth. I'm not going to ask you because Leslie will probably get it again. Only 1/1,000,000,000th of the sun's total energy output comes to the earth. You know how generous God is with the heat of the sun. Most of it is just you might say it's just wasted as it just pours out the light and the heat all over the universe. And this happens day after day. We say as surely as night follows day. And even while night is going on, the sun is still shining. And for thousands of years, it's been pouring out this light and this energy. There's an old hymn that says, life and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. I think that's a verse in Malachi, isn't it? It says, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. The sun is just a picture of God. That's an incredible thing. And as the Eiffel Tower, as France received that 40 degrees of heat, it was just a billionth of the heat that was coming from that incredible sun. Psalm 84, verse 11 says this. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. That is what is coming from him. Just like light and life that gives us life upon earth, from God himself, he gives grace and glory. The day and night, whether there are clouds over your sunlight today, whether things are very hard for you, whether it even seems like it's nighttime, I can tell you one thing for certain is that light and that heat is still coming from God, because the sun never sets on God's glory. The Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Why don't we just repeat that together? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. How wonderful our God is. That incredible sun is just a picture of the Sun of Righteousness. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the face of Jesus. It says, in his right hand he held seven stars, Revelation 1:16. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. At the end of the Revelation, it says that there will be no sun in heaven because the light will come from the face of Jesus. And there will be no night there. There used to be a song, those who were in the prayer meeting, nobody knew it, but I sang it anyway. His face will outshine them all. His face will outshine them all. I wonder whether you've at nighttime ever gone out and seen the stars. I remember when I was finished at school, lying on my back just outside, just beside the Dead Sea, and there the stars just seemed incredible. I suddenly realized when God said to Abraham that your seed, your children, your grandchildren will be like the stars. In the sky, and there were just clouds and clouds of stars. There are so many, many stars. They really are like the sand in the sea. And the more that the bigger the telescopes, the more powerful the telescopes the scientists invent, the more of this incredible universe and the number of stars they see. And yet, it's just a picture of God, really. He is so great. He is so massive. I wonder if you've thought in the daytimes, we look up, you can just see a little bit of blue, kind of whitey blue through the ceiling here. What happened to the stars? Where did they go? They're still there, shining just as they were before. But the power of the sun is so great that you cannot see those stars. And this is how God wants our relationship with him to be. That we know Jesus in such a way that it is so overwhelmingly powerful and gives such light into our life that nothing else is of any significance. That things just pale into insignificance in the glory of his brightness as we get to know him. Those moments in our lives when we have actually touched Jesus in our hearts, and it just seems like there is nothing else important in the world except knowing him. And I believe he wants us to know him more and more. And then this comes down to a personal level. Do you remember that when Paul, the conversion of St. Paul, as people call it, on the road to Damascus, and this is what he said when he was describing it to a king, to King Agrippa. He said, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven that was brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. I saw a light that was brighter than the sun." And so this son of righteousness rose in his heart with incredible power that was brighter than the sun. Who do you think God is? What is God to you? How great is your God? There's a quote from one of my favorite authors, a guy called A.W. Tozer, that says this. It's at the beginning of a wonderful book that I would recommend that everybody read if you ever have the possibility. It's called The Pursuit of God. And this is what he says. He says, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I believe that's true. I'm going to read some more. It says, the history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above their religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship, and we've been worshiping this morning, haven't we? It's pure or base, it's up or down, it's good or bad, as the worshipper entertains high or low thoughts of God. People I know who've had a real encounter with God, generally, they worship a lot. The more we know him, the more we love him. At the end of that, A.W. Tozer says this, this is true not only of the individual Christian, but of the company of Christians that composes the church. Always the most revealing thing about the church is her idea of God. So for us here at New Life, what is our concept? What is our idea of who God is? He then goes on and says, we tend by a secret law of the soul to move towards our mental image of God. You see, if you think God is holy, you will be troubled by your sin. If you think God is good, then you will be okay when bad things happen in your life. You know, well, God is good. If we know that God is sovereign over all our circumstances, we will not be troubled by our circumstances. We will run to God to find the answers. If we believe that God is our provider, then we will, when things are down, we will not worry. We will go to him for the things that we need. That our concept, our idea of God, our revelation of God is so important. And as we look at God, as we read the word of God, as we spend time worshiping God, as we spend time with him, we are changed. It has a transforming power. Transformation is a big word in the world today, isn't it? Transformation. Do you want to be transformed? I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed this morning. I want to be transformed tomorrow morning. I don't want to be the same person. I am dissatisfied with the way I am as a Christian. I'm not despairing, but there is something in me that wants to be better. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more loving when I am impatient. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to fall down and sin. I want to be better. I want to get better. I want to be more fruitful. I want to be more useful to God. I want to be transformed. It's an ongoing process. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all, how? With unveiled face, with the veil taken away from our faces, are beholding the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into the same image. What image? The image of Jesus. The image of the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians it says that we're looking at the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not some vague idea of God. The glory of God has been put into the person of Jesus. And as we see who he is, we will be changed as we spend time meditating on him, with him, worshiping him. Do you remember the disciples in Acts? They said these men, they took note that they had been with Jesus. Their lives had been turned upside down. They had been transformed, and they took note that they'd been with this person. They gazed on him, and they were changed, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday, being transformed from one degree of glory. How many of you here know Jesus? Then you have a certain degree of glory, but you're being transformed from one degree to another degree. Do you want more of that? I pray for myself that God will put more hunger, more desire in my heart to know him. I heard somebody say the other day, this very interesting thing, and I've been thinking about it. It says, we are like what we like. We are like what we like. What do you like? What do you like doing in your spare time? What do you like on television? What films do you like? What people do you like? What do you like? We are like what we like. The objects in our lives, the things that we spend time with. If you want to know what you worship, what you really love, often the amount of time we devote to something shows how much we love that thing. How much time do we devote to God? Because we want to be like him, because we like him more. Just an example, Exodus chapter 34. This unbelievable story of Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. We were in the prayer meeting this morning. A few of us were talking with God. Maybe you prayed this morning. I'm not going to ask how many of you spent time with God this morning, but as we talk with God, our faces will shine to a degree. Moses had this incredible encounter with God. For 40 days and 40 nights, he was up on Mount Sinai. He wasn't eating. He wasn't even drinking. He was sustained supernaturally, and he had been with the sun. And so his face was shining. He wasn't even aware of it. And I think most people who spend time with God, they're probably not aware even of that. But we know the people, people we know whose faces shine. You meet them, you know their face is going to shine because they are people who spend time with Jesus. Moses didn't know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And so he scared them. When Aaron, his brother, saw him, they were terrified, the children of Israel, that this man comes down and his face is shining. They insisted that he put a veil over his face. And so he did. Whenever he went in with God, he came out with his face shining, and he had to put that veil over because the brightness of the glory of God was too great. In Exodus 34, verse 12, this man Moses says to the Lord, "See, you say to me," he's saying to God, "bring up this people, but you haven't let me know who you're going to send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you found favor in my sight." So God is Moses is saying to God, "You know my name. You said that you know my name, but actually, I don't know your name. Who is this person? Who is this being that is supposed to be coming up with us? Who are you?" he says. "Yet I know, yet you said, I know you by name. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please," and there are two requests here, and here is the first one, "show me now your ways." These are great prayers to pray if you want to know God. "Show me your ways." Often it's not just a blinding revelation of God. It's not even our theological concept or our Bible study, but God shows us his ways as we walk in our ways. And I've been a Christian now for 40 years or so, and I know some of his ways. Most things, I think, most of the good lessons I've learned about God's ways, I've learned the hard way. I've learned by trying and failing, or not doing it the right way, and then learning what is the right way. We need to pray, "God, show us your ways. What is your way about guidance? What is your way about relationships? What is your way about prayer? How does it work, God? Show me your ways. I want to know you through your ways, through the ways that you do things." Some of us have suffered in life. Difficult things, hard things, long-term pressure has been in our lives. And yet it teaches us something about God. We find him in those valleys, don't we? And we know his ways. Show me your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. So he's saying to God, please, Lord, don't say they're my people. I'm just reminding you, God, in case there was any doubt, they're your people, and I want you to come with us. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, God said to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then the conversation goes on. He said to him, if your presence will not go with me, don't bring us up from here. If your presence does not come up with us, I don't want to go. I don't want to lead this people if your presence isn't there. Again, what a thing to pray. What a cry for our hearts, for New Life Church and the other churches that we know, to pray for them. That God's presence, that means his manifest presence, his obvious presence, his revealed presence. You see, God is here this morning. Because he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When you wake up tomorrow morning, whatever your circumstance is, God is with you. He said, I'm with you always. He never goes away. And yet there's something else. It's the manifest presence. It's actually having a sense of his presence. How many of you, when you've spent time with God, praying and reading Bible, you come out of that with a sense of his presence? Yeah. We do, don't we? It's the manifest presence of God. You come on a Sunday morning and you come in dry and you go out full. Anyone ever had that experience? You know, I've never gone into the prayer meeting on a Sunday morning, and I'm not kidding. I can't remember a time when I've gone into that little prayer meeting on Sunday morning and not come out with a different sense of the presence of God. And often I've gone in there in despair or in great need or thinking, oh God, how am I going to do this? How are we going to do this? And we pray and I come out different. Something manifest happens in the presence of God. And so he says, please don't go up. Please don't let us go up without you. For how shall it be known that I've found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? I and your people from every other people will be distinguished on the face of the earth. How are you going to tell people in church from your people at work? What is the difference? What's the difference? What is the difference? Well, the people that I know and New Life, I know there is a difference. We had an incredible time at Carrity Wood last week. Do you know, it really was an amazing time. People say, well, how was Carrity Wood? It was the best, wasn't it, Michelle? We always say that. It was the best. And Michelle's been there every one of those 30 years. So she's a good one to judge. And it always seems to be better. But you know, this year, there was such a lot of love around between the helpers, but very obviously between the children and the teenagers. It was such a joy to behold that the teenagers were so kind to the young ones. They were so looking out for them. And there were some of the children who were going through different things, who prayed in the prayer meeting, heart-rending prayers. One or two prayers they prayed, and I thought, oh God, is that what's going on in that child's heart? And you realize after they prayed that prayer, a number of the children had taken note. And so they really reached out to and loved that child. They opened up and they were blessed. And that would not happen in the playground. It just wouldn't happen. There was such love. And this is the love of God. It was the manifest presence of God. It was God's love manifest in a tangible way. The Holy Spirit was there in a very tangible way. And after the talks, there was a sense of God's presence. And when we asked the children if they wanted to respond, they knew they were straight up. And a number of children asked Jesus into their lives for the first time, or maybe the second or third time, I don't know. But there were many steps taken toward Jesus. But there had been a prayer go up for Carrity Wood, actually. There had been a lot of people talking to God for a long time about it, and his presence was manifest. So the Lord said to Moses, this very thing you've spoken of, I will do, for you found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, and here's the second prayer, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. Do you ever pray that? I pray that regularly in my prayer time. God, today, show me your glory. I want to see you. Open my eyes to behold you. Do you know it's impossible to see God unless he opens up our eyes? Jesus said, no man has seen the Father unless the Son has revealed him. And it's the other way around as well. Nobody's seen the Father. Nobody's seen the Son unless our eyes have been opened. So we can pray the prayer of Moses today. Lord, show me your glory. Shall we pray that right now? Let's stand, shall we? I haven't finished. Don't get too excited. But let's pray this prayer. Father, we say to you this morning, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Father, could this become a daily part of our prayer lives, Lord, that we are asking you to reveal yourself. Lord, we say today, show us your glory. Amen. Do sit down. So what happened? The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Do you know, I love the names of God in the Bible. I'm always looking for new and different ways to pray. I'm a person who gets easily bored. And so I find all the time I'm looking for different ways. Something I came across the other day in a book that Corin, do you remember Corin, the Church of England minister that came and spoke here? And she talked about a book of prayer by Tim Keller. And I read that book and I found three things he said there. He said that prayer is three ways. Prayer is upward, outward, and inward. And so in my prayer time, I just try at the moment to keep those three things. And to start with, I want it to be upward. And I try to find ways of praising God. Maybe go through a list of things he's done. Maybe praise him. Go through the names of God. Sometimes I go through the alphabet and praise his name. A is to be adored. B is beautiful. C is comforter. D is deliverer. E is everlasting. F is freeing. And I just go through and I found it just refreshing to find different ways. There are so many different ways of praying upwards. And as we praise him for what he's done and who he is, something changes in here. And then I start to pray inwards and I let the Bible speak to me. I say, God, please today, could you speak to me? Not so to give me something that I could maybe say on a Sunday or whatever, but speak to me personally. Speak to me personally. And I ask God that I want my prayer to be inward and changing. And then I try to pray outward and I start to pray for my friends, for Alpha, for the church, for different things. And sometimes I'm not very good at that, I'll be honest. But I do always try to do that first bit first of upward, praising him for who he is. And here's some wonderful food for that in Exodus 34. Verse 6, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed what the Lord had to do. He said to Moses, go and stand in this rock. There's a hole in a rock here. I need you to go in there. And then I'm going to put my hand over you. And then I'm going to pass by. Because if I don't do that, you're going to die. Because this is our God. This is our God. He hasn't changed. The Old Testament God is still the New Testament God. Yes, Jesus has died. Yes, we are in grace. Yes, we are in the new covenant. But our God is the same awesome, mighty God. So this is what God said. He spoke his name, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. You know, sometimes that bothers us, the second half of that, doesn't it? If you're honest, for me, that second half bothers me. But I'm learning that that is my God. And whether I like it or not, whether I understand it or not, that is God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a fearsome God. Our God is a holy God. Our God is the judge of the whole earth. And he always does right. And if we don't understand things, we say, God, you are an awesome God. You are a holy God. You are a God beyond my understanding. I'm not sure I understand that, but could you please reveal yourself to me? But God in his mercy, he starts with the nice stuff first, doesn't he? Let's have a quick look at that. A God merciful. The word mercy means a feeling of love that leads to action. You see, God feels compassion towards you and towards me. He feels love. Hands up if God feels love towards you. Yes. The Bible says, as a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon his feeling. Compassion is nothing if it is not a feeling. He feels love for you and I. And it's a love that doesn't just say, I love you. It's a love that leads to action. That is mercy that took Jesus to Calvary. That was the action behind God's feeling of compassion. He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. That word apparently, it's a word that means somebody who leans down to bless somebody that is inferior to them. And believe me, we are very inferior to God. Very inferior. But he stretches out. He's leaning down. And even as we are here this morning in our lives, I don't know what your problems are, but I'm telling you one thing. God is leaning. He is leaning out of heaven to bless you and to touch your life because he is the Lord, merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. Yes, God has anger more powerful than the power of the sun. The wrath of God, the difference between anger and wrath, wrath is like an intense outburst of anger. And I do not want to be myself on that side of God's wrath and anger. And I am grateful for Calvary because not only is the Lord a sun, but he is a shield. And he has put his hand in front of me through Calvary that I can walk before him without fear and enjoy his mercy and his compassion. Abounding in steadfast love, this word, and you'll find these words repeated time and again in the Old Testament. This, the Hebrew word here, one of my favorite words, hesed, and it means covenant love. It means a love that is not based on how somebody feels. I don't feel very good about you this morning. God doesn't say that. I often think about, when I think about this verse, I sometimes think about Brian Clough. Those of you who know old football managers will know about Brian Clough. And he was a very successful manager, but he ruled by fear. And he was, sometimes he was very nice to them. And sometimes he was really horrible to them. And they never knew which he was going to be. That's terrible, isn't it? Have you had school teachers like that? Have you had bosses like that? They blow hot and cold, and you don't know whether it's going to be hot or cold. So you're always walking around like in fear of them. We don't have to walk that way about God, do we? Because his love is steadfast. It is covenant mercy. It is based on his blood being shed for you and me, and it will never change because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is not, he does not have, his changes do not feel on a whim. Forgiving iniquity. Oh, I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. Anybody here sin apart from me? I've got a little quote in my, where's my phone? Yeah, it's in here somewhere. I was just looking at it halfway through the meeting, just reminding myself of this quote because I kind of felt I needed it. And if I can find it, it's by Spurgeon. Yeah, the waiting's good. You'll probably remember it more for waiting for it. Here we go. Spurgeon, here we are. The nearer a man lives to God, the more intensely has he to mourn over his own evil heart. The nearer a man lives to God, the more intensely has he to mourn over his own evil heart. You know, if we want to walk with God, our sin is going to trouble us. The things that we do, you know, we do something, we watch something, we see something, we say something, we even have a feeling in our heart, and it really bothers us. And I can tell you that doesn't go away. The more we walk with God, the more intense that should actually be. And yet, the more intense should be the sense that we can go to God for forgiveness. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. He forgives iniquity and transgression. transgression and sin. But he won't, but he by no means clear the guilty. You see, God doesn't just say, oh, I'm a lovely God, like Father Christmas. It'll be all right. It's going to be okay in the world. Everything's going to be fine. The Father would not have had to send the Son to die on the cross if our sin did not bother him. That was the measure of how he feels about sin. So how did Moses react? He quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. The word worship in the Old Testament means to bow down on your face. And there are times at New Life we've experienced, I'm sure you've experienced, when you just wanted to lie on your face. Bob was there this morning in his quiet time, lying on his face. It's a good place to be, isn't it? Moses was there. He quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. But he didn't stop praying. He said, if now I found favor in your sight. He was always after a bargain, this guy. Oh, Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, in case you haven't heard my prayer, for it's a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for your inheritance. Amazing stuff. Just quickly, I'm going to skip some stuff here. Another illustration of the stars there. Do you remember there was a guy called Ptolemy? And what was significant about Ptolemy? Anyone tell me? What did Ptolemy discover or tell us about? It's about something about the solar system. You could look if you like. He had this theory that was geocentric. And it means that the solar system is actually based on the Earth, that the Earth was the center of everything. And all the planets and the sun went around the Earth. And then this guy came along called Copernicus. He made a few mistakes, but he did get everything going round the sun. And that's the difference between that's how our lives should be. Our lives should focus around Jesus. What is more important in your life than him? What is more important than your relationship with him? What is more important than his purpose for you? What is more important? There is nothing more important, but we have to place the sun in the middle of our lives. Do you know, if the earth was 5% nearer to the sun, what would happen? It would all burn up. And we wouldn't be here. If the earth was 5% further away from the sun, what would happen? We'd freeze to death. But God has arranged these planets in an incredible way that we are just in the right place, rotating around the sun. You know, when you have this solar eclipse, it's when the moon comes in front of the sun. That's a picture of it there. August 1999, I remember seeing that on the Malvern Hills. I've mentioned it to you before because it's the most incredible picture. But the moon is just the right shape. It just blocks out the sun perfectly. If the moon had been created that little bit bigger or if it was a little bit smaller, we'd see a lot of sun and we wouldn't get that eclipse. But it's perfect in shape. It's an amazing and wonderful thing. But it's a picture how sin blocks out our light. And if we have got our lives all messed up and Jesus is not the center, then that light isn't going to come into our lives. We're going to walk in darkness and we're going to lose the warmth of God's presence. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, when we let those things get between us and God. There's another picture. You know, in Genesis, it says that these lights in the heaven, the stars, the moon, the sun, they were for signs for us. They were to speak to us. And one of the things that we've seen recently, January 2019, what's that kind of vaguely red thing? I hope you can see it. Someone tell me? No? Could be Mars, but it isn't. David? It's a blood moon. They call it a blood moon, and this is a lunar eclipse, isn't it? When the earth gets in between the sun and the moon, and the light of the sun can't get to the moon. And so what happens? These incredible rays go round the earth and hit the moon, and it goes all blood-colored. And what do you think my Heavenly Father wanted us to learn from that? That there is blood. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. He put that there to remind us of the blood of Jesus. Because the other part of that verse, Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, through the one that died on the cross, through the one that shed his blood, our Lord. How wonderful. Let's just stop there, shall we, and just meditate for a minute on those things. Malachi 4:2 says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." I believe that this morning, like every morning, God wants to rise afresh in our hearts. Let's pray, shall we? Let's just close our eyes. The musicians have, some of them have gone down to help with the children. It's okay, NK. We're just going to pray this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank him in our hearts. Let's just think about these things we've talked about this morning. This glory that God wants us to know. This blood that's been shed on Calvary. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you that it's not some kind of thing. It was your blood that poured out of your veins, out of your head, your hands, your feet. It was the blood of mercy. It was the blood of love that you shed that we might be have our sins wiped away, so that we could have no distance between us and the Father, that there would be light and love and mercy flowing towards us day by day. Thank you for the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings. Thank you, Father, for your healing power. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Vicky and I have got one of those cars that sort of runs on a battery sometimes and then runs on an engine. It's one of those very quiet cars that can creep up on you and catch you unawares if you're not careful. But our car went through a rather unwelcome transformation the other day because somebody stole the catalytic converter. Which now means that our car roars, and it's a bit of a shock when you turn the engine on, rather than sort of the, often you get a bit of silence because the battery sort of starts up, and then the engine would sort of gently sort of start sort of mumbling away, and now the battery sort of starts, and then suddenly, this car is roaring at you. And I was thinking of the transformation of that Jesus makes in our lives, that I just felt this morning something of God calling us towards the roaring. Not because something's been taken from us, but something has been imparted to us. The wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, this wonderful hope that we are called towards. And just talking to Gunnel this morning. Where's Gunnel? Hello, Gunnel. Welcome. Welcome back from Sweden. And talking about praise and this thing of, you know, praising God, thanking him. And be good this morning, just as we worship him this morning, to not just to make a kind of a loud noise, but have this sense of this thing rising up within us, this, you know, God's goodness, God's greatness, and let's worship him. I began this morning troubled, I have to say, and ended up sprawled on our carpet in our living room, praying, and with all the sort of stuff going through my mind, all the distractions, and it struck me that the best place to be with all of the stuff going on in my heart and my mind was in the presence of God and at his throne. And so there's two thoughts, two for the price of one. How about that? Let's roar and let's come into his wonderful, wonderful presence this morning. Amen. Very warm welcome if it's your first time here. Fantastic to have you with us. If you want us to keep in touch with you, there's a little welcome to new life kind of, we love our little bits of paper, little bit of paper. If you put your name and address and phone number, email, that sort of modern stuff on it and pop it in the on the information point in the box here, that'd be lovely. If you've been here a while and you're thinking of how might you help us as a church, there's a little how can I help form as well. So another lovely little bit of paper. So if you want to keep in touch or offer your services, there are two bits of paper you can consider. How exciting is that? There's another bit of paper called the Gift Aid Declaration. There, look at that. So if you're a regular giver to the church and haven't completed a Gift Aid Declaration, that would be great if you could do so, because then we can get the tax back on your offering. Michelle has a verse of the month for us. Two verses. What a blessing.
We're having a look at July and August today, because in August we've got all the family services and we don't want to miss our verses, do we? Okay, so July, we've got, yeah, that's a really famous one and very easy to learn, yeah? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which is amazing, isn't it? That God's prepared things for all of us to do individually. Yeah. So, and then we've got August as well. Oh, yes, August one's on fire. There we are. We're going to blaze for Jesus. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Yeah. I mean, that seems easy when you think God is small. Anyone can just rock up. But when you really meet Jesus, then to the thought that we can approach him is really incredible through the blood of Jesus.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Michelle. We've got a bit of a wire situation here. Just a personal announcement. Those that don't know, my lovely wife and I became grandparents a couple of weeks ago. There he is. I know, Phil. Phil was pointing at the thing saying, where is the picture for up there? Well, I'm afraid there it is. You'll have to come and see us. If you want to see a better picture, little Noah. Vicky keeps calling him Jonah. Noah, Jonah. Sarah Jane texted the other day and called him Nosh by mistake. Put an S for an A. So I thought, actually, that's a good name for the little boy, Nosh. Because he's feeding very well. Perhaps there's something of in my genes in him, poor little chap. Anyway, so great blessing. Mum and dad and little baby doing very well. So thank you very much for those that have prayed much. Verse of the month, we've done that. Next Sunday, Jules, our dear brother Jules from Chalk Farm, is coming to speak to us, which would be great. And I think the folks from Chalk Farm are joining us as well. I'm looking for... Yes, yeah, that's right. So it would be lovely to have them come and join us too. Tuesday, 7:30, Highgate Road Chapel prayer meeting. So again, it'd be lovely if you could join us. Fantastic to pray together. And God's doing some wonderful things in those meetings. It's lovely to meet with him and with one another. So lovely if you could join us. That'd be great. And also Sunday mornings, 9:45 in the room, just over there. Again, before the meeting, we meet to pray. So again, if you could join us for that, that'd be lovely. And now we have a wonderfully special moment. Joe. Ta-da.
You'll be glad to know that I'm not the wonderfully special moment. It's the prize giving, the flame prize giving. Monica, do you want to come up? Let's pull this over a bit. We do this each year. We do a special prize giving for Flame, but before we mention Flame, we ought to mention the other groups. So we have these, we have little sunbeams. I don't know if any sunbeams parents would like to come up. We've got some little seaside bubble ones and little tiny jelly sweets for the little sunbeams. So if any or sunbeams would like to all come up together, or parents come up, or do you like to come up and get these? That would be brilliant. Can you just get these out? We'll get the chairman up in a moment for the main prize giving. Oh, here they come, guys. Well done. This is for being in sunbeams. That's Abby. Well done. Wow. And we've got Aurea Faye here. And we've got Berenica. Well done. Brilliant. We've got Aurea Faye here. Brilliant. Well done. And we've got Zara. Brilliant. And Josh. And I think Jemima's lurking at the back somewhere. Wow, look at that. These are the sunbeams. Aren't they magnificent? Brilliant. We also, at the other end, have some super cool, and I personally think that they are the best teenagers in the world. I know we're biased, but that's how I feel about them. So we've got some sweets for Michelle's group, for Tribe. Can you catch? Can I throw? I don't know. Whoa. And we've got... I can't throw. And then we got some for Tribe. Oh, we can't throw to Dan. There's some sweets for your guys. Or Baraka we could give them to. But Baraka has a checkered history with the sweets. Where is he? Baraka, I'm not sure we should trust you with these. Baraka went down in history, actually, when he was younger, as being the boy who loved sweets more than any other boy we'd ever met. He was, and somehow this has continued. So that's for Tribe and Ablaze, our teenage groups, who are so fantastic. So now we're moving on to Flame, which is the primary school age group, more or less. And so these prizes are based on attendance, roughly. And can I just say, there's loads of things that kids could do on Sunday mornings, but none of them is as good as going to church. This church, whatever church, but the children coming to church, I'm just saying, it's better than rugby, it's better than tennis. In the end, you're going to understand this is the best thing you could have done, is to get the guys to come to church. So that's why, thank you, Onyeka. So yeah, we're going to start with the runners up. We need the chairman. Where's the chairman? Here he comes. We need the chairman. Bob is the chairman. He does all sorts of things, but he does give out the prizes. And Monica will give you the right one. There you go. Brilliant. So we're going to start with the runners-up. I know some of the kids couldn't be here today, so I'm not sure everybody's here. But there's a whole crowd of runners-up, and then there's the 1, 2, 3 top places where there's actually quite a few people who've drawn this year. So the first runner-up is Denzel with 23 points. Is Denzel here? Abigail, do you want to come up for him? Is Abigail here? I'm sure I saw her. Do you want to come up for him? There's his bag. We're trusting you to get them to him. Next, we've got Joe and Luke, who are both on 24 points. Then we've got Munya, who's on 23 points. Is Munya here? Yes, good man. Munya has actually got, he doesn't know this, but we've given a special extra prize this year for a highly commended In Flame, because he has just been the most amazing guy to have around In Flame. He's been our year 6 leader out In Flame. He gets an extra goodie bag here. He's been just fantastic. Munya, well done. That's special commendation to you, yeah? Daniela, I don't know if Daniela and Josh and the guys are here. No, I think they're not here yet. I think they're coming. Okay, we'll hold on to Daniela's one. She's got 12. Sarah Jane, is Sarah Jane here? Yes, she is. Brilliant. And Neil. Do they want to come up? Sarah Jane and Neil. It's been so fantastic to have these new guys over the last few weeks. Brilliant. Over here. Good man. Well done. Down here with your name on it. Fantastic. They got 20 each. Then we've got Robin, but I don't know if Robin is here. Nope, we'll hold on to Robin's prize. Rosie, I don't think is here. No. I think that's all of them. And then we come to the top 3 places, okay? So it becomes very exciting. Because a whole load of them have drawn. But in third place, with 27 points, we've got Edwards. Well done. Good man. And then we have got, in second place, drawing. We've got 4 people drawing in second place. They are Joseph. Good man. And Sinan. Sinan. Well done. And Matteo. And Irony. Well done. That's the highest place you guys have ever come. Well done. Brilliant. Irony in second place. Brilliant. Finally now, we get to first place. And it's a draw for first place with 31 points. They got 29. All 4 of those guys got 29. With 31 points, it's Daniel and Joanna drawing. Well done. Well done. We should take a quick picture of them. Let's take a quick picture of you. Let's take a quick picture of our first prize winners. You need to turn around. Look, Anita's going to take a picture of you. There you go. Magnificent. Well done. Right. We did have a little prize for James Crawley, but he's not here, so we may have to give it to his mum and dad. James Crawley is just unbelievable in flame, but at heart he is a big kid, so we bought him a candy pizza box, which I'm sure won't please his parents, but he might like it. So we'll give it to him next time. Great. In a moment, we're going to go down to the fields. Can I just quickly say that, Alan, could you just wave? Yes, stand up. Yep. So Alan is going to be at the front when we go down to the field. So this is all of Sunbeams, Flame, Tribe and Ablaze are coming down to the fields for a 45-minute burst of energy down there. Alan's going to be at the front. Sophie, can you just wave? It's going to be at the back. So you need to be between Alan or Sophie, okay? If you're not, then we've got a problem. So we just need everyone to go together. And we're not going to go down the back. We're going to go from the front of the school. So in a moment, is that now, I think? We're going to head off and we're going to congregate on the playground here. Don't go racing to the front of the school. We're just going to meet at the playground here. So that's all the kids and teens. Brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Can I just say, I think there should really be a prize for all the wonderful helpers that do the children's work. Joe, Monica, and many others.
Good grief, what's that?
It's little Noah. How did you do that? I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. Oh, isn't he sweet? Anyway, emotional moment. Yes, just a real thanks for Joe and all the others that help with the children's work. It's such a wonderful thing for so many years. And this little grandson of ours, his mother and dear Johnny, have been blessed over many years with the children's work in this church. So it's a great great thing for us to have. So thank you. Amen.
So they're all heading out, Joe, are they? Fantastic.